Hello, and welcome to our very public cry for help, Legends of Philadelphia. These are your hosts, Tony Trove, and his best friend, Johnny Zito. I'm Brian Bierman, helping out on engineering duties. You might be asking, are these podcasters free range or factory farm? Well, in addition to being Philadelphia natives, Tony Trove and Johnny Zito have a little t-shirt business, South Delaney, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes. Lots of times, customers will ask us, what the heck is birch beer?
It's red.
Yeah, it's weird.
Made from trees.
Or they want to know why the city smells like a burnt urinal cake.
Nobody knows.
So we decide a burnt one, though?
Well, I don't know.
That's specific. So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you. Look, we got it in and out.
Boom.
They've been too long. They've been too long the past couple of weeks.
You're the best at
that
it.
That was one of the best ones.
I thought for the 100th episode, we can play them all at the same time.
Oh. That sounds maddening.
We'll get like 100 tracks.
I can cut this. But did you ever hear about the person that they collected all the white albums? And then they recorded them, and then they play. It's like 100 of them played at once. They like put them all on top of each other, like starting at the same time, and it's like crazy sounding.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Crazy. Hmm. I remember there's that store in New York that was the White Album store, and they only sell copies.
I think it's that
of the
person.
White Album.
I think it was that person. Did like?
It sounds like the same spirit. Same spirit of that. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this one. I love twists. My favorite twist of all time is the Sixth Sense at the end. I don't want to spoil it if none of you have never seen it.
It's a 20-year-old movie, but
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. I didn't see that coming.
What about the twist in the one with the aliens? In Signs?
Signs,
yeah. What about that one?
What's the twist in Signs? Twist They're allergic to water? Was that it? But only if you call it water, not water.
Yeah, you can.
That's what it was. They're allergic to water,
not water.
Water.
Water. Yeah.
What about the other one? Lady in the Water.
I didn't see that one. I heard it wasn't any good. Yeah. No, it's not that kind of twist. We're talking about
what?
The dance craze. The dance craze. The twist.
What?
Bierman, you look shocked.
Can you email me? Because, like, this is not...
I promise I send these. This is the fourth time
this has happened to me, and it's embarrassing.
I promise I send these out the night before.
He sent a playlist.
For some reason, I edit, and I don't edit this part out for some reason. But it's just very embarrassing for me. So if you can email me or, like, something.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I'll start sharing them and texting you and sending an Ambler alert when the scripts are ready.
An Ambler alert.
Isn't that what it is?
No.
Amber? No. What is it?
Amber alert.
Amber. Oh.
An Ambler alert.
Yeah.
There's a robbery in Ambler. Someone robbed the 7-Eleven in Ambler. Did you get this on your phone too?
Near media? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down in Ambler.
Oh, that's way better. That's a way better idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just thought Ambler was pretty wild, right?
I guess I thought it was an acronym.
Stay out.
Ambler.
Cut this part.
Cut this part.
No.
Oh, man. The twist, everybody.
And that's the twist.
That's our twist.
The twist is a dance that was inspired by rock and roll icon and Philly kid Chubby Checker. From 1959 to the early 60s, it became a worldwide dance craze, enjoying immense popularity while drawing controversies from critics who felt it was too provocative. It inspired dances.
Provocative.
Too sexy. Too sexy.
Too sexy. Wow. It inspired dances such as the jerk, dance. The pony, the watusi, the mashed potato, the monkey, and the funky chicken. But none were as popular as the twist. So come on, everybody. We're going to twist again here on Legends of Philadelphia.
Is the twist as popular as the chicken dance at weddings?
No, I would say not. No.
No, the answer is not.
At my wedding, my wife and her dad, the father-daughter dance, they actually danced the twist. They danced the original twist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's
The twist is great because it's, you don't have to be good at dancing to do it. Like, right. I can't dance, but I can do the twist.
And everybody looks good doing it. Well, maybe not good, but everybody looks like they're doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to do it wrong.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to think at one time there wasn't the twist.
Yeah.
Right?
Pre-twist. Like, you want to go dancing? Sure. And you go dance the other way. And they're like, wait a second. I'm going to twist.
They call it PT. That's how post-twist.
Yeah.
What are some pre-twist dances? Like the Charleston? Is that what we're talking about?
Charleston, yeah.
The cha-cha? Yeah. Come on.
Calypso dances.
Calypso, sure. Tango. Can't forget that
tango.
One.
Tango. Sultry.
Can't forget
sultry.
That one.
Mm-hmm. I
have lambadas, seen... The lambada, this is post-twist, but the lambada is the forbidden dance.
That's true. That's true.
That's post-twist. Even more provocative.
I'm sure this is true for many of the people listening, and maybe even you guys as well, but I've seen Chubby Checker perform the twist live many times, most recently in 2009 at the Vendemmia, and which is the wine drinking festival in South Philly, and it drove the crowd wild.
Oh, at Girard Park.
Were they all twisting?
Yeah, literally everyone
you think
twisted.
You think that South Philly crowd's all wine drunk, didn't have a good time?
Yeah.
With Chubby Checker?
Everybody with like a wine chalice in hand, just sloshing it all over the kids.
I mean, if the guy from the twist shows up, what do you think they're going to do?
It's just going to get nuts.
It's going to go
it
crazy.
It did. It
We're
got nuts.
Go balk.
Look, and if you grew up in South Philly, you just would see Chubby Checker once in a while.
Yeah.
Remember he was trying to get a statue of himself put up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know if they ever did it, but I remember he was like campaigning for that for a while.
Yeah,
I know we're doing an episode on Chubby Checker. That's one of the saddest things I've probably ever heard.
I don't think that's. I think it's noble. That's sad. I think Pyramid, stop.
Please put a statue up of me. Come on.
Yeah, here's the twist. I changed the way everybody dances. Even Bierman looks good dancing.
Yeah, look, I'm doing it now.
He's doing it right now.
Oh, man. It looks like he's doing it right.
Rhythm.
Looks like he's doing it well.
I just pulled my hip. Rhythm. I pulled my hip.
Have you ever seen Chubby Checker live? Trove, I think you came to that
2009. No, only you have seen him live. Thanks for like rubbing it in. No, we've never seen Chubby Checker live.
Okay. All right, never mind.
Sorry. That's too much.
No, there's like an oldie circuit in the Philly area, and like, I don't know, a lot of these like old timey groups like Bill Haley and the Danny the Juniors and Chubby Checker. You just see them around, you know.
Charlie Gracie,
yeah, South Philly's very own.
Yeah, and
but I don't know.
And the Geeter, the characters like the Geeter still bring them around and play their songs, and so they remain relevant.
Talks over them while they're talking.
Yeah.
Talks over them while they're talking.
That's his style, dude. That's his style.
Did you ever hear the rumor he put a hit out on High Lit?
We keep saying we're going to do an episode on that.
I know.
I always forget.
No one steal that.
Born Ernest Evans in Spring Gully, South Carolina, Chubby Checker came with his family to Philly at age 8. He was raised in the projects of South Philadelphia, where he lived with his parents and 2 brothers. By age 8, Evans formed a street corner harmony group, and by the time he entered high school, he was taking piano lessons at Settlement Music School. He entertained his classmates by performing vocal impressions of popular entertainers of the day, such as Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, and Fats Domino. One of his classmates and friends at South Philadelphia High School was Fabiano Forte, who would also become a popular performer in the early 1960s as Fabian. So, yeah, a lot of talent coming out of Broad and Snyder back in the day.
Southern. Different time. Well, I don't know. I'm sure.
I don't know. Maybe there's some doo-wop groups at Southern nowadays. I wouldn't know.
Maybe there are some doo-wop groups at Southern.
What's the modern twist? What's the next twist? That'll come out of there.
The new dance. I don't know.
The last one was twerking, right? So what's whatever the next thing is?
That was a long time ago, Zito. No. You're,
was
you're
it?
Way old on your dances. This guy.
This guy.
This guy. Come on.
What's this, 2017? We're going to do the Harlem Shake next? Get out of here. embarrassing yourself.
Someone's dissing your fly girls. Yeah.
Give him one of these.
Hit him with one of, give him one of these.
After school, Chubby Checker would entertain customers with songs and jokes at Fresh Farm Poultry in the Italian Market on 9th Street. It was his boss at the produce market, Tony A., who gave Evans his nickname, Chubby. That's not a great nickname.
Tony's like, I don't want people knowing my last name. I did some stuff, and I'm not proud of it. So it's just Tony A. now.
I bet his name isn't even really Tony.
It's probably short for something.
Something.
The owner of Fresh Farm Poultry, Henry Colt, was so impressed by the young man's performances that he contacted his friend, Cal Mann, who was a songwriter for Cameo Parkway Records, and arranged for young Chubby to do a private recording for American Bandstand host Dick Clark. So he was getting the hookup from his Italian pals on 9th Street, who I guess had a hand in the record. They're these butchers who also had a hand in the record producing business.
They go hand in hand.
They record in the meat locker. There's a studio.
They train by singing at the
at slabs of beef.
Meat.
Yeah,
slabs of beef. They sing their scales and
they play xylophone on the beef rib cages. Yeah,
on the ribs.
Yep. Yeah, so you
breaking
know.
The ribs.
That's how Philadelphians do everything. That we did just in a meat locker with the aid of some slab of beef. Yeah.
Practice kissing, everything.
Everything.
Learn to ride a bike. Learn to swim. Learn to do the twist.
Oh, so on topic.
That's what I learned.
And my father before me.
Drove me. Come on.
At this recording session, Evans got his stage name after doing his Fats Domino impression for Dick Clark's wife. When he introduced himself as Chubby, she asked if his last name was Checker, a little play on Fats Domino. So he's Fats Domino and Chubby Checker. And the joke made everyone laugh so much that Chubby began introducing himself as Chubby Checker from then on.
That's a good one. Do you ever see the movie Fatso?
Yes.
With Dom DeLuise.
With Dom DeLuise,
and
yeah.
The Dom DeLuise, they go, their like diet hotline is called the Chubby Checkers.
That's so dumb.
Junior, get the honey.
Dom DeLuise still giving after all these years.
We cut that.
No, it's a great movie. It's about self-love, self-acceptance. I think it's a positive film. Everyone should check it out.
Yeah, Fatso.
So this recording that Chubby Checkers was doing for Dick Clark for... You know, that he had gotten from a friend of a friend in the Italian market was a novelty recording, a holiday gift that Dick Clark would be sending to his friends and other industry insiders. And on this album, I guess, on this recording, Chubby Checker did all of his impressions of all of these different celebrities and stars, and Dick Clark sent it out to those celebrities and stars. And it was like a, and then they did like an Alvin and the Chipmunks version on it too. And I guess you can find it out there still. I think it's called The Class. It was then later released as a recording on its own. So it received such a good response that Cameo Parkway signed Checker to a recording contract after that. So it's kind of like a dream come true situation. He's slinging meat and produce on 9th Street, and now he's singing for Dick Clark.
He was slinging meat, singing the meat, and now he's
right.
He hit the big time.
Now the meat comes to him. As they say in the recording industry.
It's an old showbiz term.
How many people do you think like heard this story? Like, yeah, that guy working at Farm Fresh Poultry, he got a recording contract. How many people do you think went and got jobs at Farm Fresh Poultry? Like young kids from South Philly, like, this is my in. This is my way to the top.
Yeah. I'm really good at ballet.
Means you to show up with our rock opera.
They're like, all right, this is where it all happens.
All right, how much of this guy got to cut before I can hit you with one of these?
Cameo Parkway Records was the parent company of Cameo Records and Parkway Records, which were major American Philadelphia-based record labels from 1956 to 1967. We kind of mentioned them in our Gamble and Huff episode because they're kind of like what precedes the Gamble and Huff era in Philadelphia music, you know. So
this is a prequel. This is a prequel to that episode, really.
In ways, it is. If you were going to put all the episodes in chronological order, this one would come before that one, definitely.
Don't do that.
For the people who want chronological order, not release order.
You just watch The Godfather out of order.
That's the way it's intended to be. I say this all the time, but that's the way it's intended to be. To be watched. It was recut and put out as the miniseries. Yeah.
You watch number three times.
Three
and then and then you watch the part where they were back in Italy. Right.
That's a tangent, but it's true. If you've never seen the Godfather novella, the way it's put together for TV, that's the way it's intended to be seen. It's the best version.
TV, the true medium.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Godfather podcast.
Man, there already is one. I would do one so fast.
Is it called The Podfather?
No, but it should be. We should write him an email. Yeah.
What?
You know, it's called The Godfather Minute.
That took me 2 seconds. That took me 2 seconds.
That took me 2 seconds. We can do an episode on Johnny Fontaine. That could be our gateway.
You can act like a man.
You could do an episode on every single character.
Johnny Fontaine definitely appeared at the Palumbo's restaurant. And I wanted to make like a fake flyer t-shirt. Oh, it's like live at Palumbo's. Johnny Fontaine. But we need the Podfather to be the media that carries his t-shirt.
Yeah, so. You're right. Johnny Fontaine would have been represented by Cameo Parkway 100%. There would have been producers from Cameo Parkway with horse heads in their bed. That's how he got him out of the contract. Yeah.
That's right.
Among the types of music released by Cameo Parkway were doo-wop, dance hits, popular rock, rockabilly, big band, garage rock, and soul records. We talk about this, Trove and I, every once in a while. There's like this little like blip, I guess, of 1956 to 1967 of music that is like kind of forgotten and pushed aside by things like Elvis Presley and more.
Well, there's also these like local hits, like Wildwood Days, South Street, the Bristol Stomp. Of course. Yeah. Of course we know. Like,
of course.
That was like
three, like right off the cuff.
You can't walk down the street without somebody singing Bristol Stomp. It's annoying.
Bristol Stomp, come on. Like a major label is putting out local hits or local themed songs.
Well, yeah.
But they also put out 96 Tears.
Yes. And it's like we talk about with New York. When they put out the media can mention their local landmarks or whatever. When Philadelphia was putting out the media, they can mention their local landmarks and they become national landmarks.
What the hell, South Street? Yeah.
Yeah. It's where the hippies meet, dude. Aren't you listening to the song? It's right there in the lyrics.
I don't want to go there. I'm going to get robbed. Hippies. That sounds scary.
How about a California cheeseburger?
But this stuff all got erased by Elvis and the Beatles and then, you know, the New York 70s and 80s sounds.
Those pieces of shit.
I'm just saying it exists. It's still here, it, you know. 11th Street isn't Frankie Avalon Boulevard for no reason.
This is the least informative history podcast.
Very strong opinion about the 1950s doo-wop.
You forget things by the end of the episode.
We're robbing you of an education. You could be learning a skill right now.
You'd be learning Spanish right now. What are you listening to us for?
In fact, turn this off. Go download a Skillshare. Yeah. It's worth your time. Mm-hmm. But if you're sticking around, Chubby Checker introduced his version of the twist at the age of 18.
But if you do want to find out about Chubby Checker.
I mean, we're finally at the meat of it. Chubby Checker introduced his version of the twist at the age of 18 in 1960. The twist had previously peaked at 16 on the Billboard Rhythm and Blues chart, recorded by its author, Hank Ballard, in 1959. So it had come out in 1959. And then Chubby did his cover of it.
Was his a hit though?
Ballard's. It says here it got to 16 on the Billboard Rhythm and Blues chart, and and it charted on the Billboard Top 40 as well.
See, I didn't know. I thought he was the first one to do it. I didn't know there was a twist before.
So there's a twist to the story here. The song became popular on a Baltimore television dance show hosted by local DJ Buddy Dean, and Dean recommended the song to Dick Clark for the National American Bandstand broadcast out of Philadelphia. But Ballard was too raunchy. He was deemed too raunchy to appeal to Clark's teenage audience. So Clark urged Cameo Parkway to record a new version of the twist with young, wholesome Chubby Checker, who had displayed his talent for copying other artists. And so they kind of had Chubby Checker do like a Ballard impression, and they recorded the song very similarly. But Chubby had a much more wholesome and family-friendly a brand, and so they Dick Clark's urging, they like pushed this version instead. So the original was popular, but not for prime time, maybe, and so that's how Chubby Checker ended up with the more popular recording.
Wow! I never knew any of that.
Sucks for that dude. Too sexy, huh?
Well, I'm sure he got the song rights.
It's a problem a lot of us have, you know?
Yeah,
it's a problem,
dude.
It's a problem a lot of us go through.
My life.
Overlooked to a lot of people, but, you know.
I'm also, like, smart also. You know what I mean? That's what people don't think.
You guys are working really hard to normalize being so smart and so hot.
I wear glasses to look less hot, but you know.
But they make you look even smarter.
It's a curse. It's a blessing and a curse.
It's a blessing and a curse.
So in July 1960, Chubby Checker performed the twist for the first time in front of a live audience at the Rainbow Club in Wildwood, New Jersey. And just weeks later, on August 6, 1960, the song became a national sensation when Checker performed it on Dick Clark's American Bandstand live from Philadelphia.
I just think that people didn't twist, and then they went, now we dance like that. Now we twist, and we're always twisting. It's
it never stopped. It never ends.
And it never stopped. Yeah, it keeps. It's at every wedding and graduation and block party you'll ever go to.
So they went to Wildwood, did the twist in front of everybody, came back to Philly, did on TV, catches on.
Like, I guess in 1960, Wildwood is like, you know, a pretty upscale resort town, and there's like some cool people who go down there, maybe trendsetters or scenesters, and they are like the first people. Well, apparently at this time, immediately after this,
Fontaine was there.
Yeah,
Fontaine.
These DJs and the people who like hung out in this scene.
Dom DeLuise.
And Wildwood was connected with
people were making out under the boardwalk, and they heard the song, and they were like, "What is this? I'm going to twist under here.
Yeah. I'm going to start twisting. Get away from me. I got to dance by myself."
Yes, all the homeless people and sea monsters under the boardwalk.
They're called pirates, Zito.
They live at sea. They are by definition homeless.
They're called ghost pirates.
there was like a connection between these like live clubs or these live performances and these clubs, and then the people who saw it, who were vacationing in Wildwood and saw it, they took it back to New York with them, and then this became very popular at a place called the Peppermint Club, and the Peppermint Club, the house band there, saw people twisting, and then they started performing their own version of the twist called the Peppermint Twist, which also became very popular as well.
They do that on the Simpsons, the spinoff one, or it's their 70s variety show.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Never heard of that show.
The Simpsons, yeah. It's coming up. It's an up-and-coming. It's an indie hit. But.
And then...
Oh, like Garden State.
Exposure for the twist on American Bandstand and on the Dick Clark Saturday Night Show helped propel the twist to the top of the American charts. In addition to the Peppermint Twist, Bo Diddley released an album in 1962 titled Bo Diddley's A Twister. He recorded several twist-centric tracks, including The Twister, Bo's Twist, and Mama Don't Allow No Twistin', which references the objections of many parents to the pelvic thrusts of the eponymous dance, The Twist.
But, Dad, I just want a twist.
What are you doing down there? We're just twisting.
What are you doing in there? You've been in the bathroom for 45 minutes. Go away.
So in addition to all of the knockoffs, Chubby Checker recorded variations on a theme himself, such as Let's Twist Again to keep the craze alive. And Let's Twist Again has remained more popular than the twist itself in the years since. So it's kind
of
funny,
very
nostalgic.
Actually. Of the old
twist.
It's
like, let's twist again like we did last summer. It's like, it's just like, remember that thing? Remember last year when I did that thing? Let's do it again so I can keep making money.
I'll tell you what, I think it is, I like the second one better than the first one.
So there's a, he recorded a German version of this.
I listened to these earlier, song. Too.
Really?
Yeah.
I know it because this band, The Residents, did this album in 1975 called Third Reich and Roll, and it's about how pop music is like indoctrinating children, and it's all covers of 60s songs, but the cover is actually Dick Clark dressed like Hitler holding a carrot.
Holy.
And, in the beginning, the very first thing is a sample of the beginning of the German version, Chubby Checker doing Let's Twist Again, but I think it maybe wasn't released. The regular twist wasn't released in America because it says like "Let's Twist Begin." It's like begins. It's like twist begins, like the German version. So it's not like "Let's Twist Again."
They didn't get the original, so this one is the original
maybe.
To them.
I don't know. That's just what I'm guessing.
I don't know. There's an Italian one too. I was reading about this before. Like someone who translates lyrics. You know, to another language and making them rhyme and still have the same kind of feel.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's like German song that translated to English, you know, in these jazz times, they would do these sort of things.
Yeah. And like the Beatles did, like, I want to hold your
Beatles
hand
did it too.
German
right.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we found out that, what's it called? The Boys to Men did a J-pop album.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, you know, I don't know. It's like the twist came out and like every artist did a version of the twist, just like how everybody artist did a disco.
I never really noticed this, but yeah, that they all came from this.
Several television shows parodied the dance craze in the early 1960s. And I think that's in watching these things in reruns is probably where I first became aware of the twist, as a kid. An episode of the Chipmunks parodied the trends with the Alvin twist. The Flintstones did an episode with a version called The Twitch that aired in 1962, as did the Dick Van Dyke Show's Twizzle. So I guess they kind of like, you know, variations on the name or whatever. But
what was the who was the singer in the Flintstones? The like big singer that Judy was like in love with?
Oh, man.
It was like a teen star.
Was it him doing that song? I'll look it up, but you could just keep going with it.
Okay. Thanks. We're not going to wait. That same year, 1962, the twist was featured in an episode of Leave It to Beaver called The Beaver Joins a Record Club. It was also mentioned... Captivating stuff.
No Beatnik records in that.
The parents aren't gonna. They're not gonna allow that.
Stay away, Beav.
The twist was also mentioned in The Amazing Spider-Man issue number 2 when J. Jonah Jameson tells Peter Parker to, quote, buy some twist records, end quote, with his money that he makes on pictures of Spider-Man.
Pictures of the Spider-Man.
Bring me pictures of Spider-Man.
Can you look up how many twist records you could buy with a photo of Spider-Man in 1960?
How much money was a photo of Spider-Man worth in 1960? How much money is it worth now?
Okay, that's a lot of work for me to do. All right, I can't find. I gotta get off my phone. It doesn't matter. I'm looking up this obscure Flintstones character. Who gives a shit? No one gives a shit. No one cares.
Signed off.
It was probably I don't know.
It always comes back to Hanna-Barbera, doesn't it? It always comes back.
We'll discuss this on our Hanna-Barbera podcast.
Yeah, tune in.
Tune in.
That's what it's called.
Tune in. We spell it T O O N. You get it.
Yeah, because we're cute like that.
By the mid-1960s, the dance craze, the twist, had reached the Soviet Union and was popularized in a 1967 movie called Kidnapping Caucasian Style.
What?
A Soviet Union film titled Kidnapping Caucasian Style featured the song The Twist.
Wow.
And it was wildly popular. It introduced Soviet audiences to The Twist.
In Russia, The twist twists you. No. You don't have to fake laugh. I'm gonna cut it. You don't have to fake laugh.
You don't want the Russians hearing that. Don't.
Yeah, Putin's gonna kidnap you now.
In Australia, they twist the other way. There we go. I brought it back.
The twist would come to be seen as emblematic of the early 1960s and later years, with popular songs, television shows, and movies likely to reference it when they wanted to convey the spirit of that time period. In 1978, the rock band The B-52s included the line, quote, twisting round the fire, end quote, in their song of 1960s beach party film references Rock Lobster.
Classic.
That was like a throwback.
Yeah, it started immediately. This is, 1978? And the twist was very popular all throughout the 60s. So, hey, remember being a kid? It's almost, 10, 20 years later. Remember that summer when we twisted?
Yeah. Remember that crazy summer?
Everyone just kind of like cashing in on the reference. This is interesting. This is a kind of a reversal on the Back to the Future or a play on the Back to the Future Johnny B. Goode scene. But in the sixth episode of the second season of the TV series Quantum Leap, entitled Good Morning Peoria, set on September 9th, 1959, Dr. Sam Beckett, played by Scott Bakula, and Al Calavici, played by Dean Stockwell, have a Kiss with History meeting with Chubby Checker, played by himself, in a radio station where Sam leaps into a radio DJ called Chick Hal, and they sing and dance The Twist together. And Chubby Checker asks, hey, can I use some of your dance moves? And Sam, as the DJ, responds, yeah, but I got it from you. And then he, like, leaps out of...
And then his head explodes, right? His head explodes because that can't happen. The universe won't let that happen.
Quantum Leap's, like, fetishy in the weirdest way. Right?
Right?
I don't know. Right? You guys, right? I don't know. Like, your different bodies. Like, it's
hot. Sounds hot.
It's hot.
And what's that podcast leotard he's wearing when he gets inside the time machine? Why does it cling so tightly to his butt? Am I right?
I don't know.
Hey, dude, if you got to flaunt it, man.
Quantum Leap, touching on something that, I don't know, weird.
What about when he leaps into a woman, huh?
That's what I'm saying. It's just kind of like...
It's hot. I got to watch this show. I got to watch it.
It's hot. Let's watch it.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
I thought we were going to talk about your cousin Marvin Berry, like how it's like a play on that. I had no idea. I had no idea you thought of Quantum Leap.
Oh, yeah. I was. Yes, that cover band. No. Let's talk about why Quantum Leap is like fetishy.
No one's ever said that.
No one's ever never thought that.
What about that episode where he leaps into Dr. Ruth? That's sexy.
That
hot? Right?
What about
hot?
That one?
You know how hot that
She's
is?
A sex doctor. She's a sex doctor.
All right, you just got to bring it, but keep it together for the end here.
So,
all right.
So then what happened in 1988? What happened in 1988? What happened in
1988? In 1988, In 1988, Chubby Checker joined the Fat Boys on a rap version of the Twist.
Oh, that's right.
Podcast, Legends of Philadelphia, favorites, the Fat Boys.
Favorites, the Fat Boys.
Which hit number 2 on the UK, number 16 in the US, and number 1 in Germany and Switzerland.
Dude, the Twist is still big in Germany. It went to number 1.
Yeah, it's big everywhere. You can't hold it down. Checker also joined with the group to perform the song that summer at a London tribute concert for Nelson Mandela. So that's history.
Nelson Mandela got out of jail, and he was like, what do you want to see? Who could you, if you could see anybody, like, you've been in jail for fucking 30 years. I want to see the Fat Boys and Chubby Checker do the Twist.
He's like, it's actually twist. It's my favorite dance.
Yeah.
Look, it's a lot of people's favorite dance. You got.
Do you think you wanted to see Chubby Checker and Fat Boys were like, can we come too? Or do you think you wanted to see Fat Boys and Chubby Checker was like, it's my song. I'm definitely coming.
I don't know. They had crossover appeal, those Fat Boys. That was the height of Fat Boys mania, too, dude.
Yeah, I guess it would be the height of Fat Boys mania.
The height of it.
Disorderlies just came out. Let's do a Fat Boys podcast, dude.
What is this episode even about?
I don't know, man.
The twist.
The twist endings.
Come on, everybody.
Their Nirvana song Aneurysm, first released in 1991 on Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That's right.
That single predominantly features a mention of the spirited dance, prompting listeners to come on over and do the twist multiple times in the lyrics.
We always did the twist of the Nirvana music.
Yep.
The live version of that song from their live album Muddy Banks of the Wish God, my favorite Nirvana song. Go check that out.
All right, I'll mark it down.
I'll check it out. I'll check out the live version. Quentin Tarantino's 1994 film Pulp Fiction featured John Travolta and Uma Thurman dancing the twist to Chuck Berry's You Never Can Tell as part of Jackrabbit Slim's twist contest, which they win. It's kind of funny that they do the twist to Chuck Berry's song and not
the actual
twist. In Spider-Man 3, 2007, Harry Osborn and Mary Jane Watson dance to the twist in a real weird, awkward scene. In a season 1 episode of Mad Men, The Hobo Code, Peggy Olson and several other employees of Sterling Cooper dance to Chubby Checker's The Twist. I guess in the show it had just come out that year.
In I'm pretty sure the first episode of season 2, it starts with they're playing Let's Twist Again, and it's everybody going back to work or whatever.
I
think.
Show had great opening montages. The show had really great montages and needle drops.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Honestly, it kept the show afloat, you know, between, you know, bigger storylines. It's all you need.
So we need this podcast needs montages.
We need more needle drops. That's what we really need.
More needle drops.
Can't afford it.
There's another music episode without any music in it.
Let's try to describe what music sounds like, everyone. All right.
Well, it's like, you know the twist.
Well, yeah.
Come on, you know the
now
twist.
Now go open up Spotify and listen to the twist.
And then the
come
other
back.
Twist, yeah.
And you'll be like, oh, this song sucks. Wow.
What about in Pulp Fiction when they do the twist? That's not the twist. I always liked in with Uncle Buck when John Candy does the twist.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
I always feel like that's like one of like the best twists out there.
When he's making giant pancakes.
Yeah,
what a great movie.
John Candy podcast.
That would be a very popular podcast, actually. If we just
never mind, never mind, never mind.
Yeah,
don't want any of that.
So the twist is so ubiquitous that Checker felt that his critics thought he could only succeed with Dance Records typecasting him as a dance artist, which I don't know why that's a bad thing. You know, millions of people are made happy by the music you're making.
He's got some sensitive tunes. You don't...
He wanted to do metal, dude.
Metal.
I don't want to do this bullshit.
Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go.
The twist. Da, 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 da. You could twist and headbang at the same time.
Metal.
Is there a metal version of the twist? Because like, if not, we should work on that.
Checker later lamented, quote, "In a way, the twist really ruined my life. I was on my way to becoming a very popular nightclub performer, and the twist just wiped that out. It got so out of proportion, no one believes I have any talent," end quote. And I guess he's referring to like being
That's not true,
because
I believe he has talent.
I agree. I think it's like, it's so impressive to just be able
to... Who cares what Zito thinks, but like... No, who cares what he thinks, but I don't know. He has talent. He shouldn't say that about himself.
But I guess I never knew that it was like... It was a cover and that his version was him trying to sound like somebody else. So it's just
But
like,
it's his dance that does it. It's not about the song. It's the dance.
But wasn't the dance in the song, though, in the original?
But he's got it. People ought to see him do it. They saw him on TV do it.
Yeah. And
that's what I'm saying. It's like an instruction. Like, all right, everyone, here's how you do it. Like, that's the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And he went on television.
Yeah, sure.
They were like,
Elvis
how do you
didn't
do
write
it?
His tunes either. So what? I'm just saying.
He described it as putting a cigarette out with the ball of your foot. And so, like, that's his version of the twist. That's the version that people do around the world, you know? And when the song was written...
You learned something on...
When the song was written by that guy Ballard, he was written referring to, like, you know, just, you know, a generalized term of what he saw when
he was talking about the M. Night thing.
He was talking about twist
endings.
He was talking about just kids in the audience, just kids dancing at the shows he was playing. They weren't necessarily, like, doing a uniform dance. They were all just kind of, like, gyrating, and he called it the twist, you know, but it wasn't anything uniform. And Chubby Checker makes it a meme. He makes it, like, something that anyone can do.
A meme.
Yeah, he does. He goes on TV, and he shows you how to do it, and then everyone's doing it. Everyone's mom's doing it. Dick Van Dyke is doing it. It's, like, it's just like Dance Craze is now, but it's, like, the first one.
People love dancing.
Yes, they do.
Frank Zappa has a quote about this. If you write a song that has a dance in it, it's going to be a hit song because people fucking love dancing. Yeah. Even if the song's not very good, I'm not saying
it's Frank Zappa
isn't good.
Right now about writing a hit song.
Well, that's true. But but people love dancing.
All right, let's make a dance song instead of a podcast.
Do you think we could make like a really kick-ass dance craze? Do you think we could make a hit dance craze?
You can make a dance, but I wouldn't say you make a dance craze.
That metal version of the twist is going to be number one in Germany again.
Yeah, you're right. That's the perfect audience for it.
That's the market.
I think this operation overseas.
Europe's where it's at. Let's do Legends of Europe.
Yep.
The hell with
Legends
this dump.
Of Europe. Get this long hot out of my face.
The twist in this episode is we hate Philadelphia, actually. I fucking hate it here.
Too hot. Too many mean people.
The fact that the twist was regarded by Americans as iconic by various generations, ethnic and social classes means that the twist had and has successfully overcome previous social barriers. By 1965 alone, the twist had sold over 15 million copies, and it continues to be regarded as an all-time banger. So,
there's like nothing more American than that.
If I was an astronaut, I would do the twist on the moon, because I'd be the first one to do it.
First twist on the moon.
First twist in outer space. It would probably take like 20 minutes to do, but it'd move really slow. Yeah, but it could be done. Chubby Checker's still around, right? I see him on, like, TV every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. I don't know whether this is worth including, but Leanne and I, we looked up hiring him for our wedding.
Oh, yeah, this episode's so, this episode's so tight that we can't possibly go off on a tangent.
We looked into hiring Chubby Checker for the wedding. Like I said, the song means a lot to her and her dad, and so we were like, how crazy would it be if we could get Chubby Checker? It's like $5,000 to get Chubby Checker to come out and sing one song.
You can't just give his rate out like that, can you?
Yeah, it's on his website.
All right.
It's on his website. And then there's another rate if you want him to do 40 minutes, and there's another rate if you want him to bring the whole band, or if you just want him to use audio backing. It's like, it's a whole thing.
If you want him to do his, if you want him to do 10 of his other songs, that's actually less than him doing this thing.
Look, as
they're all versions of the twist. He throws in the Fat Boys for free. You just get them.
We have to book him. We have to book him. We have to figure out how to get him booked in South Philly.
If South Fellini throws a block party, if we ever have the opportunity to throw a block party, it'll be headlined.
We're gonna get Chubby
by Chubby Checker.
Headlined by Chubby Checker, starring the twist. Since we're just talking about whatever, can we talk about how someone totaled Zito's car while it was parked, and they were wearing a South Fellini shirt?
yeah, that happened.
I just wanted to throw it out there.
I was almost killed by a customer. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, "Oh, he almost killed me and totaled my car." And then they're wearing a South Fellini shirt. It's so funny.
I parked my car, I locked it, I walked across the street, and someone plowed into my car. And I wasn't hurt, and I went over to see the person inside the car and make sure they were okay. And they were wearing one of the Bullies T-shirts, the Flyers Fight an Irish mashup, which is I think it's one of Trove's. Trove's, that's one of yours, right?
Bada bing, it sure is.
So I was obviously like, I was really mad at first.
In a weird way, I feel like I'm like oddly
responsible.
Oh, totally.
Well, you know, like how a butterfly flaps its wings and it reaches
the butterfly effect. Hey, if there was no twist, then you would still be driving your car today, Zito.
Yeah, that's the twist today's episode.
She might have looked at that text 30 seconds later, could have crashed in someone else's car.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess the lesson is don't text and drive.
Don't text and drive.
And you know.
Be careful out there. There's a lot of careless drivers.
Yeah. And I felt obligated. Then when I saw this woman was wearing a South Fellini shirt, I then felt obligated to be nice to her, even though she almost killed me. I was like, are you okay? Can I get you a bottle of water? You gave me $25 one time, so I...
I guess we're even.
I guess you earned this. You earned this. Buy a shirt, total my car. That's the deal here in South Fellini.
That's a great deal. You're not going to get that at Target.
Yeah.
It's customer service. That is good.
Shop local and rec local.
You want to just take a baseball bat to my windshield? I know you only got a pin, but.
You get a couple more stickers and we'll talk.
Yeah. You got to buy at least two stickers.
Buy at least two stickers. Flat my tires.
Wow. This is probably if there's a, you know how like the Emmys sends, like they pick one episode of the show to like send to, like this is the one. This is ours. No. This is ours.
Yep. The least informative episode. Potty.
Don't send this one.
This is it. I already did it. I texted you just that.
Don't send this one.
I got your message.
You already texted to the judges.
Got the message, Veerman.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about the twist. That's the twist with the twist.
Come on, everybody.
Do it. Do it. It's fun. It's fun, and it burns calories also. Doing the twist.
Mm-hmm. It burns calories.
It does.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about the twist. Please check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at South Fellini everywhere. Follow along and join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. I know we have some older listeners out there. I want to know how many times you've seen Chubby Checker live, and would you go see him again?
If you were old enough to remember when the twist came out, what was that like?
Yeah.
What was when you first did the twist?
Yeah, we would love to know. Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, and please remain 6 feet apart.
Away from me.
The twist is a perfect social distancing
dance. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
You gotta be grinding up on someone to
don't touch me.
The twist.
My catchphrase.
My catchphrase.
Don't touch me.
Good night. Goodbye.